10 Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because you know I got plenty of that stuff. And with me, as always, on the boards, we have Bobby.
Hello, hello, happy Saturday.
How are you today?
I'm doing well, how about you?
Nice, a little cooler?
Yes.
I'm liking that, I'm ready for the cooler.
Lynn's weather report here shortly.
There you go. And always, we have with us my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Hi, Lenny. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Lynn. I miss you.
Me too.
And Rachel brought us presents, Lynn.
Oh, no. What did she bring us?
You'll have to be surprised.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm excited. I'm so excited that she's in the studio with me today.
I know. It's soon. I have 10 more days, the operation, and then recoup, and then I'm coming back.
Okie dokie. Woohoo! Yeah. We'll have to have a party that day.
We could do that with champagne or $2 bottles of wine. Whatever.
I think since it's a big party, we could actually do champagne.
Oh, do Prosecco. So
I want to come to that show.
Okay.
Yeah, you could come.
Do that outside the studio, then come and do the show, right? Right? Is that what I heard?
We're not saying anything. If you see me come in with a Dunkin' Donuts cup, get a little nervous.
That's fine. I get nervous with most Dunkin' Donuts cups in here.
Oh, my goodness.
It's gorgeous out, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's lovely. It makes me very happy. I went out and took a walk.
I'm on my way out. I'm going to listen to you in the car.
Okay.
And tell me about the new listeners.
We have Barbie from Sarasota, and we have Nancy from Ohio, and we have Dorothy from Pinellas Park.
Welcome, ladies.
So, like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for new listeners, whether it's listening to us on the radio or on YouTube or on Apple iTunes or on Facebook or, like I say, wherever they'll take my mouth. We're just glad that you're all here with us today.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Listen, have a wonderful show, which I know you well because Rachel's there.
Of course.
And I will speak to you later.
All right, honey.
Bye,
drive
you.
Safe.
Bye, Lynn.
Bye. So this little voice you hear over here is my friend Rachel McInerney from Arden Courts of Largo.
Yes.
I'm so glad you're here today. It's just so good to see your smiling face.
Well, thank you. I think this is my fourth time on the show, and so I think I'm least nervous this time. But my first time, I remember my voice was shaking, and I was huddling in the corner, and I didn't realize I was being recorded, so I was fidgeting. So I think
you're a pro now.
I feel a lot more comfortable, so
that's good.
I'm excited. Thank you for
having
me back.
Yes, and it's wonderful to see you. So, it's been a bit of a week. Thank you, God. Tom is still here with us. I will say it was fabulous today to get out of my pajamas and get showered and come to the show. Because when you're a caregiver also in COVID, you spend a lot of time in the house and not seeing anybody else. And, you know, your pajamas get pretty comfortable. So I was glad to get out of my pajamas today. And some other interesting things happened this week. You know, I'm looking for things to read because Tom watches a lot of television that I don't really like. And most of the times he doesn't mind me reading. Sometimes he asks me not to read. Sometimes he tells me don't look at him. Sometimes he asks me not to eat in front of him. But I guess if you can't eat,
that actually
I can
makes
get
sense.
That. There's a book called Box of Butterflies by Roma Downey. You know, the Touched by an Angel woman. And I heard her on a talk show, I'm thinking maybe like a year and a half ago. And one of my friend's daughter died unexpectedly young. And I sent her the book. She told me how fabulous it was. Shortly after that, another one of my friend's son died at a young age. And I sent her the book and said it was fabulous. And I bought one for me and I put it on my bookshelf. And I never looked at the book. And the other day when I had the opportunity to go home for like an hour and just collect my hair dryer and stuff and whatever, there was the book. And it was fabulous. So I read the book this week, and it gave me a lot of comfort, and it gave me a lot of letting go and understanding and what is the real story that's going on here.
So is it just about the grief process?
Part of it is about the grief, but part of it is just about having faith. A lot of it is about having faith. A lot of it is about having gratitude. So, you know me, that's right up my alley.
Right.
So it was wonderful to have it and to read that book. I also got to read, one of my friends wrote a murder mystery book. So that's a really nice thing. Rick and Corvia, thank you. That book just came out 2 weeks ago on the other side of the glass. So that was a nice, like, escape.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's a page-turner.
Yeah, because in my normal everyday life, I don't have a lot of time to read. And then I started reading this morning Final Gifts by Maggie Callahan and Patricia Kelly. I read that book when I was in hospice when my mom was on her final journey. And I remembered how much it had helped me. And I gave my book to someone. So yesterday I bought it on Kindle and just said I needed to be reminded about some things. Because this journey is part of life. Death is part of life. And it's all about how you handle it, though. So I'm trying to do the best for myself and the best for Tom. And it's a little tough. And I got to tell you, I cannot be more grateful to Seasons Hospice.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Actually, I'm on the board of Seasons Hospice, and I'm proud to be on the board of Seasons Hospice because their care is just unbelievable. They're there to hold my hand every step of the journey. Our nurse, Arlene, is just absolutely fabulous. She comes every Monday and Friday. And when she came this Friday, Tom hadn't spoken in 2 days. And when Arlene came, he perked up and chatted a little bit. She just got that energy and that love, you know, and she asked me if I wanted to pray for her. And it's funny, too, because when she comes, she takes all his vitals. You know, he says his little machine goes on his wrist, and it just tells you what your blood pressure is and all. And so she's always like, do you need to be checked too? And I go, yeah, I do.
Might as well. If you're a caregiver, you probably should have your blood pressure checked.
It's a great idea. Yeah. It just takes a minute. So I am so, they're saying on Facebook they can't hear us.
Oh, no.
I wonder why. I don't know. Maybe Bobby can check out something.
Hopefully they can hear us on the radio.
They can hear us on the radio, okay. And they can hear us on YouTube. I honestly don't know. Here you go, Bobby.
Bobby, help us.
Help, help, help. See?
Oh. Keep talking.
Okay. Tell me something's unplugged.
All right, did you save us, Bobby?
Let me answer the phone.
Okay, Bobby's answering the phone, but if you can hear us on Facebook now, will you tell us? Because he just plugged something in.
Hopefully that was it.
Yeah, so like I said, so I'm so grateful for Seasons Hospice, and I think one of the most important things I want to get across to our listeners today is don't wait too late to get hospice in, because hospice helps you along the entire journey. And people sometimes wait till it's like the last 2 weeks, and both themselves and their loved one does not get those advantages.
Yeah, and it's for the caregiver, too. I mean, the services they offer caregivers, the counseling is incredible, the assistance.
Chaplain was wonderful. Right. I met with the chaplain one day. Lori West came by one day and made thumbprints of Tom's thumbprint, and we made jewelry. And we also got to do the bust of Skylar holding Grandpa's hand. And my brother-in-law, my wonderful brother-in-law, Chuck, made a base for it for me yesterday and everything nice. So Tom and I were not able to do my hand because he just wasn't strong enough anymore. So I already told everybody in the family, the hand's staying at my house and you could come visit it. We have somebody on the line, Bobby?
Yes, we do. We have Kirby from Seasons Hospice.
Oh, hi, Kirby.
Hi, Kirby.
Hi, Kirby's here from Seasons Hospice. How are you?
Joyful and grateful. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Thanks for having me today.
I'm glad you're here today. So you just heard me, like, bragging on you guys?
I heard just briefly. I heard you talking about Miss Lori and a few other people, so thank you.
So tell me, what do you do at Seasons Hospice?
I am the licensed clinical social worker for the Bel Air team.
My team?
Yes.
My team. So
yes.
Can you just get across to our listeners, which I just started saying before I picked up the phone, why it's important to get hospice sooner than later.
Sure. I think, you know, a lot of people mistakenly think that hospice is really for when people are imminently dying or when they're just, you know, maybe days or weeks away from end of life. And really, we can help people a lot sooner. And I always tell my patients one of the reasons I want to get people involved in hospice sooner is because we get to know you more. So right. As your loved one gets sicker and needs more care, we already know them. We know you. We know their situation. And we're kind of part of your family, so to speak. So we can take a little bit better care of your loved one if we can get involved a little bit earlier. And also, you know, there's a lot of services hospice can provide, like you were mentioning, that are hard to get going if we're only in there for a day or two.
So yeah, and I think the whole thing is about building that relationship, because if I had just had hospice starting to come in now, he's not even having a conversation with anybody. When hospice first right. came in, I think we started August 5th, I think it was. He was joking around, you know, they had a relationship, but, you know, Tom always says it is what it is. And Nurse Arlene said, I never heard that one, but I think I'm going to start using that one. So
I think it is nice to get in there and get to know our patients when they are just a lower acuity level, and then we can really provide them with better care as you know, their health deteriorates.
And as they're caring for me also.
Yes.
I mean, if they just met me today, they'd say she looks fine. If they saw me 2 months ago and saw me today, they'd say she's weary. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Getting to know our caregivers is another really important piece, because we also follow our caregivers for 13 months after their loved one passes away. And so getting to know them, you know, when their loved one is still with us is really important, so we can build that connection and provide more effective bereavement counseling.
Yeah, because the story doesn't end when your loved one goes to heaven. It just changes.
No, it does not.
It just changes. And
right.
And that's okay, and to have someone there that wants to guide you, and just to know that somebody else is there that cares. I say,
right.
Well, yay, excuse me, they're hearing us on Facebook. Yay, Bobby!
I was just sneaking around over there checking it. That's good, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's really important. So how can our listeners find you?
So you can find Seasons Hospice at www.seasonshospice.org, and you know, our Clearwater office, I can provide the telephone number if you want. It's 727-270-9800. You're always welcome to give us a call if you have a question about your loved one or you want to inquire about care. We also have our Seasons Hospice Foundation that you can find online as well if people want to support hospice or hospice patients, but they don't necessarily need our services for their loved one right now.
Yeah. It's all very important, because it's just, I feel like hospice is like a blanket. You know, when you just need that blanket
comfort, and
they're there and that comfort. And I think that's so very important. And I'm grateful for all hospice. All hospices are special. Oh, and can I say one thing too? I'd like to my listeners to know, it doesn't cost anything for hospice.
Right, that's right. Hospice is not something that traditionally you have to pay for. You know, most people have Medicare, and hospice is a Medicare benefit. Of course, there are certain circumstances where people don't have that. And the nice thing about Seasons is we'll do a financial aid application to see if there's any help for those people who might have a special situation where Medicare isn't an option for them.
Yeah, but there's always help. You guys always figure it out. And I think that's most important, because some people may not call hospice because they think they can't afford it.
Yes, definitely. Definitely call, and we will always try to do the right thing. That's what our company prides itself on, is, you know, providing care, doing the right thing, regardless of, you know, financial benefit or impact to our company. So.
Well, thanks so much for giving us a call today. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Linda. I look forward to talking to you more and possibly coming to see you and your husband next week. So I will talk to you soon. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Have a delicious day.
Have a great day.
So how nice is that?
Yes.
It's very nice.
They have so many services that really benefit the, you know, the person passing too. They have the Namaste. Did you guys take advantage of the Namaste program? The person who came into Art and Quartz and developed the Namaste or end of life programming shortly afterwards went to Seasons Hospice and developed the same program with them. So it's great when we can work, when Art and Quartz can work with Seasons Hospice in conjunction to deliver that Namaste or end of life programming. So it just includes like aromatherapy and touch and like hand massages and that kind of thing, so that they're still being engaged in a capacity that, you know, they can participate
in. Yeah. Yeah. So. And that's just so tender. You know, we have to take these as tender, loving moments, because as difficult as it is, there's those sparks. So I'll be perfectly honest. The other night I thought was Tom's last night, and his breathing was really labored and he just didn't look right and whatever, and he actually let me change the channel on the TV, which is very rare.
You knew something was up.
Yeah. So I put on smooth jazz, and he didn't budge or anything, and he was just seemed to get a little more peaceful. And I sat there, and I rubbed his arm, and I rubbed his leg, and I talked to him, and I don't know, I said whatever I needed to say. And I talked to him for like a half hour, and he was just seemed really cool, and he didn't really say anything. And then all of a sudden, he sat up and grabbed the remote and said, "Why'd you change the channel?"
He said, "Not so fast, lady. Not yet. Not yet.
Why'd you change the channel?" I was like, "Okay, so I changed."
Not tonight. I guess it's not happening tonight.
No, not today. But I think it's gonna be soon. I mean, he's not eating any food, and he's just on ice chips, and most of the time he's sleeping and taking medication like every 4 hours.
Does he seem uncomfortable at all?
No, he's never had any pain. He has never had any physical pain. All the pain's in his head.
That's a blessing.
You know, he's never had any physical pain, but I think he's prepared. He's okay. I mean, I don't understand. I got my own stuff with God. How come you didn't put him on the elevator yet? You know, I had conversations. Is anybody else you need to talk to? I had somebody come and interview him, so we have an hour and a half interview of him about his life, which has been edited, and I have it, and he said no one could hear it until after he passes, but we have that. We did a whole photo thing, you know, we're there, and he said to me, so a couple weeks ago he said, I saw my mom sitting in the chair in the living room near him, because he lives in his recliner. Even when we were married, he slept in the recliner. It wasn't good, but
probably not good for the marriage.
No, it wasn't. But he's the recliner boy. And he said he felt like he saw his mom sitting in the chair, which I think that's very comforting. Well, it just so happens I adored my mother-in-law. And she died many years ago. And I always saved her slippers. So I wear her slippers, and I tell him, I'm taking care of you in your mom's slippers, maybe to give him some comfort, because the last thing his mother said to me before he died, the last thing she said to me was, take care of Tommy. Tommy's a good boy. Take care of Tommy. Tommy's a good boy. So I think in having these conversations and being prepared for what it is, he also said to me a couple weeks ago, he said, Linda, I don't know if it's the drugs or I had a dream. He said, but I had a dream that I died and went to heaven. He said, and this guy came up to me and he said, hey, I'm your guardian angel, Leroy. And Tom said, oh, hi, Leroy. And Leroy said, you don't remember me? And Tom said, no. Leroy said, we were in the army together in Germany. I remember Tom telling me stories about Leroy. I know we have pictures of Leroy. And he goes, oh, yeah, Leroy. It's good to see you. And Leroy's like, glad you're here. And Tom says, well, what am I going to see my family and friends? And Leroy said, I don't know what quadrant they're in. We'll have to find out, because it's a big place up here. And then he woke up. So that's good.
Yeah.
And I think when we have hospice, or when we just take times with our loved ones, it makes all the difference in the world.
And those are those moments, too, that I think like you'll cherish so much. I think so many people, when someone passes, they look back and they wish they had taken an extra minute or an extra hour out of their day to spend time with their loved ones more often. So,
well, some people are now contacting me, and I'm like, sorry, it's too late. I warned people. I tried to, but nobody wants to believe it.
Right.
But see, Tom has been sick for 10 years off and on.
So they had a big window.
And like two different times, doctors told us he had 18 months. And every time he pulled through with whatever
he's
the next
tough.
Thing was.
That's one thing.
So, yeah, he's stubborn. Well, you know, Thomas the Apostle, he was the doubting one that had, like, put his hand in the wound. That's Tom. Oh, no. Doubting Thomas. We used to say that all the time. But really, I'm sitting there just about 24/7 next to him. He doesn't like me to talk a lot. That's really hard for me. He doesn't like me to get up a lot. But any little piece I can have there is fabulous. A couple of weeks ago, he would have his eyes closed, and he would just go, "Every little thing's gonna be all right."
Oh, my gosh.
And can I video it? No, because I can never get the camera up in time. But then also, a few minutes later, he would say, "Liberty, liberty, liberty," from the commercial. So I laughed hysterically. Glad for that, and just take what you can.
The little moments.
Still talking.
Absolutely.
But right now, we have to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents, and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you, and I think to myself,
what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute, take a deep breath, sit down, close your eyes if possible, and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
All right, so caregivers, I have to put my money where my mouth is. I have to listen to that caregiver affirmation for myself.
I love that so much.
I have to pay attention to that because I can't be out there spilling to everybody else that they need to take care of themselves. But I've been enlisting some help however I can. I have neighbors that are going over and watering my plants while I'm not there and things like that. And a bunch of girls from the industry, you know all the girls we...
Yes.
Oh, let us bring you dinner, let us bring you dinner, let us bring you dinner. And then Michelle and I kept saying, no, we're good. He's not eating that much, and I'm okay. Oh, but you need to eat, Linda. And I kept saying, no, no, no. So finally, Michelle Lowak says, I'm coming over and I'm bringing egg drop and wonton soup. And I said, Tom doesn't like egg drop and wonton soup. He likes chicken noodle. And I like Pinot Grigio. But the spell check came out Pilot Grigio. And she said, what is that? Where do you get it? I go at the liquor store. So she brought me some Pinot Grigio.
Good, good.
But I also want to say that my dear friend, Michelle Lowak, her dad went to heaven this week. Love that man. Love that man. Loved playing rummy with him. Loved going on walks with him. I got a kick out of putting his picture on cards and sending it to him. But I know your heart is really hurting, Michelle. I just want to let you know that we're all here for you also. So enough of this stuff now. I want to talk about the Dr. David Bernstein because I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
He's fabulous. He's been on the show. And Art and Quartz has a seminar coming up about that. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so Dr. Bernstein has written some books. He wrote, I've Got Some Good News and Some Bad News. You're Old, Tales of a Geriatrician. Another one, Beyond Senior Driving Dilemmas, Life-Saving Strategies, which is one that I give out when families come to me and they say, we can't get the keys away from mom or dad. We're still letting them drive out there.
Right.
So I have to press the importance of like, no, we've got to get the keys in the instance of a diagnosis.
Yeah, I love that book.
Yeah, it's super helpful for families. And then finally, The Power of Five, The Ultimate Formula for Longevity and Remain Youthful. So we're having a webinar on October 20th. That's this Tuesday, this upcoming Tuesday from 2 to 3:15 p.m. So you can get on it through Zoom, and we have the flyers. And
probably the easiest way, if you're interested in it, is just email me through the website, and I will send you the Zoom link.
Perfect.
So that's probably the easiest way. And you know that book, The Power of Five, I have that book and the workbook. That's really good, even for anybody, not just for caregivers. But he's fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he's going to be talking about a lot of things, the dual health risks related to caregiving and your susceptibility to COVID-19. So again, for your loved one or your susceptibility to COVID-19, you can assess your health needs and, if necessary, partner with a healthcare professional to make appropriate lifestyle adjustments. Mm-hmm. He'll be talking about developing coping strategies so that you can have improved attention to the person you're caring for. And also to explore and consider the factors with enhanced risk to caregivers for COVID-19.
Well, you know, they say that when a caregiver is caring for someone for a long period of time and their loved one passes away, it can take up to 2 years for them to get their immune system back to where it belongs. So if you think you've got somebody that's taken care of right now and their immune system is already low and with COVID and everything else, they need to listen to what the doctor has to say, because there are things that can be done.
Oh, caregivers do not do well. So they have lots of things counting against them. We already know that the stress of being a caregiver, you know, prior to the passing process takes a toll on the immune system. And then after that, the grieving process also is bad for your immune system. And now we have this virus rampant for anyone who has a compromised immune system can be devastating. Yeah. So it really is, if ever it's been important to really listen to our bodies and listen to our medical professionals, it's right now. And I know we're hearing this all of the time, but it's really true. And just like with like the drinking water and eating healthy foods, it's the little things. We know that drinking water can just improve our oxygen levels, yeah, and our lung health, which is really important right now, especially with flu season coming up also. So it's the little things that make a big difference. We know that being a caregiver is very isolating, and now we're quarantining, yeah, on top of the, yeah, normal isolation of being a caregiver. So, you know, what comes with that is the depression and the anxiety.
Well, you know what I've seen with some of my caregivers, which just makes me so sad, is they probably should have had their loved one in a community before COVID or close to COVID. And
absolutely,
they didn't, for whatever reason, they weren't ready, you know,
guilt,
whatever. Then COVID comes. Now their loved one's home and they're declining. And now the caregiver's declining.
Right.
And sometimes they're waiting so long that there's no time for anybody to help them.
They wait too long. Yes, I would say that almost every family waits too long. And I think it does have a lot to do with guilt. These antiquated promises we make to our loved ones. I'll never put you in a home, I promise. Because a home, as it was for that generation,
yes,
is so different,
yes,
than what an assisted living memory care.
Well, especially Arden Courts, that's
right,
really
exactly,
like a home.
Exactly. So it's difficult right now for families to place because they're so worried about COVID. So they already were afraid to place, and now they have all of these fears with COVID. So it's really not a good idea to try and ride out COVID.
If we don't know.
Right. We don't know when it's going to end. And so if you're struggling as a caregiver, if you were struggling before COVID, you really should just start trying to make a plan for placement. You know, pick a date, start talking with your family if there's multiple decision makers, reach out to people like Linda, you know, people in the industry, people like myself who can answer your questions about.
We have a plethora of people that can help you.
Yes, I'm a wealth of knowledge as far as, you know, how COVID-19 has impacted assisted living and Arden Courts, and how it's changed how we provide care and services, how we would deal with an exposure to COVID-19.
So give us some examples.
Okay, so I'm lucky enough to work for Arden Courts, which is a branch of HCR Manor Care, which has recently become ProMedica,
right,
Senior Care, which is the 15th largest acute care system. So we are a memory care provider owned by a healthcare system. You'll be surprised to know that most assisted livings or memory care providers are owned by real estate companies or, you know,
investors
that are just ran by management companies. Arden Courts is a healthcare company, and our chief medical officer, Dr. Gloth, was actually the person to come up with the protocol for how to handle an exposure within a skilled nursing facility. And this didn't just become the standard for our company, it became the industry standard. So he went around nationally, not only to our HCR Manor Care,
that's great,
but to other skilled nursing facilities to teach them how to deal with this within the building so that,
right,
it doesn't spread. And this trickles down because we're part of that company. So we have all of the same protocols. And if you look online, the Florida Department of Health website will show you which assisted living facilities, you know, what their numbers are as far as employees who have contracted the virus, residents.
And people can just find that at the Department of Health?
On the website, yes.
Okay.
And so you can see that, you know, we've done.
What's going on?
And we've done very well. And also, I want to say we've been blessed. So We have taken every effort and measure that we can to protect our employees and our residents, but we've been very blessed. So I'm so grateful, but I also just want to encourage families that, you know, our exposure has been, I feel like, less than it would be in the outside community. So,
because you guys shut down before everybody else did.
We did, absolutely.
It was like a few weeks before everybody else did. I think that made a huge difference right there.
So there was a government mandate, okay, assisted livings are no longer letting people in, but our company was kind of watching what was going on nationally and said, no, this is going to be a huge problem, and, you know, we're going to shut down now and start protocols now. And it did make a huge difference. And our own families say that to me all the time. Like, you guys really, you know, you did the right thing. And that was hard for them at first.
My God.
It's been hard for everybody. You know, it never feels good to feel like you're keeping families apart. But I just, like, shout out to our families also, because they have just rolled with it and they've been so understanding. And for the most part, you know, they don't push the issue because they want to keep their loved ones safe, too. And also because we have taken great efforts to connect them every way we can. So, you know, and it's different for every family. So every family's needs are different,
right?
Because every person with Alzheimer's or dementia is very different.
Yeah.
So some residents walk around, you know, every waking minute,
right,
and their loved ones know that they're not missing them. They knew that,
right,
before.
They're in their routine.
Yes.
In their same safe place. The same people are there.
Their cocoon. I call it their cocoon. So they're in this very, like, loving, safe bubble, and they know that their loved one's doing fine. And we'll do an occasional FaceTime call with them for their benefit. It doesn't benefit the resident, and they know that, but that's for their peace of mind.
Right.
We have other family members, spouses, who need to see their spouse every day. And, you know, so it's not like a one type fits all or one size fits all. And then we do the window visits. And then most recently, Governor DeSantis has allowed something called general visitation. So these visitations are beginning. There's also things called compassionate caregivers and essential caregivers.
Yeah.
So we also started doing this, I think, kind of, we were ahead of the curve on this as well. Whenever a resident has a change in condition that we see, a mutual friend of ours often says, people need people. And, you know, as I said before, some of our residents haven't miss their family, and
right,
that's hard to communicate sometimes to families.
Right.
Others have, though, and we saw a change in condition, a decline, and in those instances, we had to come up with a game plan where it's like, okay, well, maybe we do need to make this person an essential caregiver. They need to start coming in.
And you know what? You know who the essential caregivers are.
Mm-hmm.
Who were the ones that were coming before? Who were
exactly
the ones that came every day? They are essential. And I'm glad that DeSantis did that, and I'm glad that Mary Daniels crusaded that whole thing, because it wasn't good for a lot of people.
No, and for anyone who lost a loved one during COVID who wasn't able to come in and visit, my heart goes out to them.
Yeah.
We had loved ones who had to deal with that grief as well. And so, you know, I've been a part of that and experienced that secondhand. And so, you know, I think she did the right thing, and I look forward to a time when we can open our doors up. But until we can do it safely, like, it still will be very limited and very structured.
Well, you know what? Another thing too that is good about Arden Courts, when we were just talking about walking, some communities, there is nowhere for the people with memory care to walk, so they've been totally cut off. Your people are still there.
So very,
they're still on their regular garden, doing their regular thing. You know, I hate when a community says, now this is before COVID, they go, oh, we have memory care now, and it's the third floor lockdown, and no one's been trained.
Yeah, so this is what I try to express to families, is we were the original providers of memory care and assisted livings. When their residents started having memory problems, would send them to us. And, you know, they got tired of sending their residents somewhere and said, well, we can just make the third floor memory care, or we can make this hallway memory care. But that's not really memory care. So life has changed very little for our residents. They're still able to walk, you know, our quarter of a mile walking path. They're still allowed to be out in the courtyards and the butterfly garden and go to activities and go to the dining room. So they're not.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Right.
They're not in quarantine. Their lives have changed very little. This is why we have had to be, you know, very conservative vigilant with visitors, because they aren't quarantined. They are still living, interacting with each other.
Right.
So we do have to be hyper-vigilant to any sort of exposure, but it's been for the benefit of the residents. So our residents through COVID have done very well.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's a lot of things we need to pay attention to in what kind of communities we work with and what kind of communities we refer people to. Because there are people that just got locked in their room. No activities, you know, activities stopped, visitation stopped, everything stopped. I'll tell you, if that was me, I feel like I'm being punished in the last days of my life.
I can't even imagine the impact that would have. So as I said, when we would see a change in condition in certain residents because they weren't having that interaction with their family members, you know, it was a visible decline. So to lose all interaction with any type of person, I can't imagine the impact that would have on a senior and just the loneliness.
Yeah.
Like, loneliness is not good for us.
We're lonely.
Yeah. Okay. You know? I can't imagine the impact that would have on somebody with dementia.
And if we don't hear from our wonderful partners, we'll be really lonely. So
lonely.
Don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network.
And we're off. You know what that means? Time to get your pen and paper because we have good things to tell you. So we already told you about Dr. Bernstein, Insulating Yourself from the Perfect Storm, Caregiver Burnout and COVID, which is October 20th at 2 p.m. Any of these events, just email me through the website and I will send you the Zoom link. Also, I will be doing a Zoom presentation for Arden Courts on November 10th, and it's called Caregiving and the Holidays, From Stress to Success. Especially, I think this year, we got a lot more extra things we need to think about. We need to get creative. And then, once again, it's the Field of Honor for my Kiwanis group. So you can honor a veteran, $35 for the flag. They're going to be put up November 1st. They come down December 1st. We'll have 425 flags this year. It is awesome.
Wow.
When you go by and you see those flags waving, and then each flag has streamers with the person's name and their date of service. And so, like, I've been doing it for, like, 5 years for Tom and my dad, so they'll have five streamers, and then...
What a great honor.
Yeah, this year my Uncle Jimmy passed away, and I used to write to him when he was in Vietnam. I found letters from him. I used to send him 4-H candy.
Oh, my goodness.
Some things don't change, huh?
Do you have those letters anymore? Oh, my gosh.
So, so this year I'm getting him a flag, too, and his flag will be right next to my dad's flag, so... That's kind of cool. So come out and see them in Seminole and honor a veteran. You can just go to KiwanisSeminoleBreakfast.com or, you know, just email me through the site. What else did we say we wanted to talk about?
We can talk about anything. I would love if anyone's listening and they have questions.
Call in.
Please, I'm always happy to answer questions. That's my job. That's what I do all day, is help families kind of navigate the placement process and picking a place, feeling confident you picked the right place, and then also answering all the questions that have to do with COVID-19.
And knowing about so many resources, too, because you and I have a huge amount of people, of resources. And I always tell caregivers, I don't have the answers to everybody, everything, no way. But I know somebody
right.
that does. So if you contact me, believe me, someone's going to get back to you and you're going to find out the information, because we are very blessed to be in this Tampa Bay area and have professionals that work together.
Amazing professionals, yeah. Yes. And so I say the same thing. If I can't help you, I'll find someone who can help you. I think a lot of people right now just don't even know where to begin. They don't know what the placement process looks like now, what it entails. So it's as simple as it was before. I can do a move-in within 48 hours. I have a wonderful company that will come in, do a COVID test in the house. The nurse will come right to your home. It's billed to Medicare. I can get those results within 24
wow.
to 48 hours. And then as soon as I have that negative COVID test, as long as I have the paperwork and the family homework packet, as I call it, where we get to know as much as we can about your loved one, then I can really do the placement. And, you know, you will get updates on your loved one, pictures. We'll schedule those general...
Will they be able to visit their loved one?
So that's dependent on their loved one and what their loved one's needs are. So right now, you know, we're testing people who come into the building. And so, again, we are being very limited because we do not quarantine our residents. So your loved one will be going to activities and making friends.
Which is why you bring them there.
Right. And they do so well. So like I said, if we see that there's a change in condition, that there seems to be some depression, they're not... you know, acclimating, they're not engaging, then we would start the discussion of, you know, do we need someone coming in and kind of helping yeah. with some of these things? So it all depends on the situation, but definitely we are offering general visitation as long as we haven't had any sort of exposure within 14 days. And that's not our rule. That's Governor DeSantis' rule.
Well, so. You know, it's... most of the time, I find, with all the caregivers, I've done over 1,500 support groups. I've talked to a lot of caregivers.
That's really saying something.
that it's harder for the caregiver when their loved one goes into a community than it is for their loved one. Because their loved
Absolutely.
One goes there, and they make some new friends, and they're busy all day now, where before maybe they were just sitting around a lot, and you're not maybe as angry as you were before, and you're not under stress. But I've had caregivers say to me, oh, my husband was in there for 2 weeks. I went. He was dancing with some lady. He's like, see ya.
Yep.
And she's home crying. And that's part of the process, and I get that. But the amount of stress that you're already under as a caregiver, reach out and get that help. It'll be better for your loved one, and it will be better for you. Although it's going to be difficult, it will be better for you, and you will get to be the daughter, the spouse, the sister, not the toilet changer, not the, you know?
And it will make you, sometimes it makes you like miserable or bitter about all of that responsibility. And, you know, especially.
Yeah, you get angry.
Well, and you're not an expert. So it's, you don't know how to handle these difficult situations if my loved one won't take a shower, my loved one won't take their medications,
right.
My loved one won't stop wandering. You know, you don't have the tools to deal with those situations. And so that's, you know,
what we're always trying to do for the caregivers.
I know.
It's to educate you, because the more education you can have, the easier it is. It's like the journey I'm on now. It's no piece of cake, but it could be a lot worse. I really think it could be a lot worse. You make the best of it, but you do it with resources. You do it with people like Seasons Hospice. You do it with people like Garden Courts. When your friends call up and they say, you want something, tell them you want Pinot Grigio or whatever it is.
Don't be shy.
But also don't always say no. So this is what I'm telling everybody. So I go home to my house that I had that quick little visit the other day, and my plants are dead. All my plants are dead.
Oh, no.
Because most of them are in pots, so they have to be watered like 3 times a day.
You were just having
a
year.
And I think some neighbors tried to help, but it just wasn't enough. And I was like, oh, God, I didn't want the front door. You see my house, right?
Oh, my beautiful. Plants are dead. Yes.
So I asked one of my neighbors to throw away all the plants when the garbage comes next. So if anybody wants to do something for Linda, you could get me a plant. And I could start a whole new garden.
Done.
Yes. People say, what could we do, Linda? You know what? Wouldn't it be wonderful to start a whole new garden and have it in honor of Tom and have
just
a whole bunch of
start over. Yes. Tom's garden.
That's what we got to do.
I think that's a beautiful thought.
So, Rachel, where can our listeners find you?
They can find me at Arden Courts of Largo. You can just stop by and ring the doorbell, and we will have a long talk about what the situation is. And even if you're not ready for placement now, we can just make a plan.
Yeah, just talk early.
Yeah. And you can call me anytime on my cell phone, which is 727-543-8383. I tell all of my families, you can call me any day, anytime. I will help you if I can. So we really do become family in this process, and it stays that way till the very end.
Because we all are family.
Yes, we are.
We are all our family. And when we realize that, because you know what? I say all the time, we're all the same schmoes.
Yeah.
We all want our health. We want a roof over our head. We want food on the table. We may have different hobbies or interests, but basically we're all exactly the same. And I think when you realize that, it's your life is better. And you make a whole bunch of new friends, and you just open to so many more people.
That's what life is about. Yep. It really is.
Yeah, so. People. So thanks for tuning in today, all my wonderful caregivers and my friends of caregivers. You know how much I appreciate you. Tune in next week for another great show. Remember, God loves you all the time. I love you, Tom, and have a delicious day.
And soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. See you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, now all you got to do is call, and I'll be there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.